Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, Wednesday afternoon already. I told you Monday, don't be bummed that it's Monday, because the weekend's going to be here before you know it, and here we are already on Wednesday afternoon. You just heard Chris Miller in the news say that there's a heavy thunderstorm in Kenner at the airport, and looking out of our studio windows, I'm seeing a couple of thunderstorms off in the distance. I think this is the last day we have of intensified thunderstorm activity. And then we're going to slip more into that pattern, maybe today and tomorrow. Then we slip for the weekend. We slip into that pattern of 40% chance of rain basically every day. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Once again, we have a hell of a lot to talk about. Hey, I'm really excited. My horse won yesterday at Louisiana Downs in the sixth race. Scoot, the Scooteria, his official name. They nickname him Scoot in the paddock area and in the stable area. And I got a call from Miss Evelyn Benoit last night, and she said, Scoot won in the sixth race last night, Louisiana Downs. He finally got over this allergy. I mean, he came out and he was just killing it in the beginning of his racing career at the fairgrounds, and then he just developed this allergy and has been having some problems, but apparently Scoot is back. And I'm happy to hear about that. All right. We do have a lot to get to. The president of the United States is showing signs of being very, very indecisive. And it's hard to perceive people who are indecisive as being confident. I just posted a video on Substack, Scoot on the Air Substack. And look, I want to remind you, this is an extension of my show. Go to Substack.com and just search Scoot on the Air. And I would love for you to become a subscriber. I'd love for you to join us. I'm going to be able to do some things on Substack that I can't do on Facebook and Instagram. And look, Substack is different. If you're tired of the hate, if you're tired from the juvenile trolls on Facebook and also to some degree Instagram, then get out of there and come join me on Substack. It's a whole different audience. It's a whole different environment. It started out as being a place for journalists to post their blogs and their information. And it's a great place to get news. And it's a great place to get interesting comments about the news. And that's exactly what I'm doing on Substack. But now it's open to everyone. And it really is a great social media platform. And for some of you, it's brand new. It's been around for a little while, but not that long. And it's a great escape from, again, the juvenile, misinformed trolls. And I'm so fed up with that on Facebook. And I'm still going to do some things for Facebook and Instagram. But I really would love for you to join me on Scoot on the Air Substack. So I just posted a video about Donald Trump's brain doesn't seem to be stable right now. He's changing his mind about things. And he's talking about Iran like Iran is defenseless. Wait till Iran, hits a U.S. military base. Wait till an Iranian terror cell in the United States does something. Now, the magnitude of what a terror cell does in the United States is not going to be as broad as what Israel and the United States could do to Iran in terms of territory. But psychologically, it could be devastating. So this idea of calling Iran defenseless, obviously the president doesn't seem to understand that Iran does have recourse, just in the same way that he went off on this thing with the tariffs, thinking that nobody had any recourse, that everybody was going to come begging to him. Again, this is the mentality of a bully. Bullies don't pick on people that they think are going to punch back. Bullies pick on people they think are weak. And nations did not come racing to make deals with the United States over the tariff deal. And President Trump has had to change his mind about that. You know about the TACO tariff plan. And then now Trump has changed his mind again about about illegal immigrants. You know, he campaigned on the idea, I'm going to get them all out of here. All of the illegal immigrants are going to be out of here. Mass deportations. Well, then the deportations were not quite as massive as they wanted them to be. So he sends in his sidekick, Stephen Miller, who is, like, I think, a really dangerous guy because of his brain, his thinking. He seems to be a racist. And Stephen Miller is obviously feeding a lot of information to Donald Trump. And, you know, Stephen Miller goes on this rant before the ICE agent saying, you know, you got to get out there and you got to go to the Home Depot and Lowe's and you got to go to 7-Eleven and you got to find these people, get these people. We need to get these deportations up. And so they were just, that's when they were starting to pull people out of, you know, schools and churches and everywhere. Well, Donald Trump heard from the hotel and agricultural industry in California. And Donald Trump, just like 2 weeks ago, said, okay, we're not going after the hotel and agricultural workers. Well, last night he changed his mind and said, yes, we're going after the hotel and agricultural workers. I mean, how do you explain this? This instability at the level of President of the United States is pretty damn scary. So I posted a video about that. I would love your comments. Please comment and engage in people on Substack. It's a different audience. It's a better audience to me than Facebook. And for many of you who listen to this show, it's just not, again, the childish, misinformed, hateful, ignorant comments that you see on Facebook. And you know, so many of the comments that are critical of me are just from people who are totally, completely misinformed by the conservative media echo chamber. So you're going to find a lot less of that on Substack, which is why I really enjoy being there now. So anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that. Mark Levin, who is on Fox News, and I think he's got a radio show or something else. He's part of the right-wing radical movement. Mark Levin is just screaming at Fox viewers, telling them, you got to support bombing Iran. You got to support this. You either support this or you're not a patriotic American. If you're a patriotic American, you support bombing Iran. Look, I understand. I get this. Iran can't have a nuclear bomb. I get that. But, man, we've got to have some stability here. And yesterday on Substack, I posted a video about President Trump deciding that he needed to be more involved, that the U.S. might need to be more involved in the attack on Iran because of Fox News. You know, Donald Trump doesn't read. He does not read. We hear this from multiple sources. You can believe what you want to believe, but he doesn't read. He doesn't even read his own intel. In fact, he's actually ignoring his own intel. He's ignoring U.S. intelligence on how close Iran is to getting a nuclear bomb. And somehow, in his own infinite wisdom, because of his tremendous background in the military, Donald Trump somehow knows more than U.S. intel. And so he saw on Fox News how Israel was getting credit for being a military genius when it comes to the way they're striking Iran. And Donald Trump wanted to take credit. He could not help himself from trying to take credit for that. So he said, yes, we have secured the skies over Iran. Well, it was like a couple of weeks ago, Israel said, we have secured the skies over Iran. Now, the U.S. is helping, but Donald Trump is making it seem like it's all us. And then now Trump is seriously considering getting involved in military action, either vicariously or directly, because of what he saw on the Fox News channel. You know, the news is not an accurate depiction, especially on the cable news channels. It is not an accurate depiction of what goes on a daily basis. It is an exaggeration. In many ways, it is designed to get your attention. In many ways, it's just entertainment. It's entertaining you with information, but it's entertainment. And to develop a foreign policy concept based on what you see on Fox News, I mean, this is insane. It's insane. Mark Levin, I believe he's Jewish, very much in favor of bombing Iran. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not a military expert. I don't want Iran to get a nuclear bomb because they'll use it. In fact, who's to say that they don't have some nuke capabilities right now? Do you know who Iran is friends with? Exactly. Russia. Russia's got nukes. Who's to say that Russia hasn't, you know, given them something? So Donald Trump acting like Iran is defenseless may only cause Iran to want to prove they're not. And I would just, I would hate to see what that looks like. So, yeah, I'm concerned. Also, as I mentioned yesterday, there was a time when tragedy in America was bipartisan. Steve Scalise got shot. Democrats overwhelmingly supported Steve Scalise. That was so bipartisan. It felt good as an American. It felt good to just sense that bipartisanship. Like, hey, you know, I know we disagree, but man, you're a person. I care about you. And I ran into Steve Scalise Saturday night at this big bicentennial ball at Lakeside Shopping Center, celebrating the 200th anniversary of Jefferson Parish. And he actually came up to me, said he wants to be on the show. We're trying to work that out. I posted a picture on Scoot on the Air Facebook and also on Scoot on the Air Substack of me with Steve Scalise. And, you know, I like Steve Scalise as a person. I disagree with him. He knows we disagree on a lot of issues. But, you know, when we saw each other Saturday night, we were very friendly to each other because we were relating as humans in a situation that was not political, and that's okay. But Donald Trump is making the world and the country more partisan. He says calling the Minnesota governor, Tim Walz, who's a Democrat, calling him and expressing any kind of empathy because of the shootings last weekend would be, quote, a waste of time. A lot of Democrats opened up when somebody shot at Donald Trump on the campaign trail and his ear got nipped. A lot of people, a lot of Democrats opened up to him. You know, tragedy used to be bipartisan. It's not anymore. And that is really sad. And this president is pushing that along. And what, just because he's a Democrat? I mean, there are a lot of Trump supporters who are happy. I believe they're happy that a Democratic politician in Minnesota was shot and killed and another was shot and almost killed. I think there are people who are happy about that. But you're not supposed to act like that, you know, publicly. And again, there's so much to get to. But, you know, there's something else I want to talk about today. President Trump, since he became president, the food coming in from the USDA to food banks has dramatically decreased. And it's affecting Louisiana. It's affecting New Orleans. There are children right here in New Orleans who during the summer, because they're not at school, they don't have food every day. They get regular meals. The meals that they get at school help them nutritionally. It is so effing sad to me that there are children, little kids, who don't have enough food to have three meals a day. And when they're in school, they have more food than when they're not in school. And when they're not in school and they don't get those meals from school, they don't have food. Some of them may even go hungry. I mean, how can we allow this? And I want to know, what can I do? I don't have a ton of money, but we need to figure out what we can do, because the idea that there's a child, there are kids. I mean, think about their little faces. And they don't have food. They don't have food every day. And when they're out of school, it's a real challenge. This should not be. And children who are growing up with less nutrition, that affects their brain. They grow up with a disadvantage in life. And I just think we need to figure out, and I'm going to work on this, we need to figure out what we can do to make sure that these kids have food. Because this should not be. We shouldn't spend money on anything superficial. until every kid is fed. And I don't know how it even got to this point. But we got to figure this out. Also, later in the show, we'll talk a little bit about Tyler Perry. He's the latest. Tyler Perry has been hit with a $260 million sexual harassment and assault lawsuit. And I guess the question is, how can men avoid this from happening? Now, some women make it up to try to get money. So if you don't have money, that's an advantage. But if you've got any notoriety and you've got a lot of money, it is very easy for a woman to say she was sexually harassed and sexually assaulted by you in an attempt to get money. And quite often they do get money. But that's not fair to the men. And these vicious women ruin it for the women who really are sexually assaulted. They ruin it for them. And we talked about the story where I think it was Drake. And this woman sued Drake because Drake put cayenne pepper in a used condom after they had boinked. And she burned. Do you know why she burned? Because she was trying to insert that into her to get pregnant so she could get money from Drake. And she sued him. He put cayenne in the used condom because he was afraid that some woman might do that. And some woman did that. So as much as I want to sympathize with every woman who claims sexual assault, unfortunately, there are situations where somebody has money and it might not be so obvious who the guilty person is. All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke is in a meeting until 2 o'clock. He'll join the show at 2. In the meantime, Coleman is our studio producer. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, it's good to have to say.
Yes.
The thing that makes this Tyler Perry situation a bit different is that the person accusing him is a male. It's a guy.
Yeah, okay, but guys can be dishonest, too, you know? I don't know. I mean, is Tyler Perry gay or does somebody just claim that this happened? I don't know everything about the story yet because it's just coming out. But I mean, you know, guys are learning from women. All right, LSU's quest for a national championship in the College World Series continues today. The Tigers are 2-0 in the College World Series, and they're looking great. They're one win away from the championship finals. Now, today they take on Arkansas. Arkansas and UCLA played yesterday, and Arkansas is now going to have to beat LSU to continue, and LSU can beat Arkansas and move on, but Arkansas beat UCLA last night, so Arkansas is the team that takes on LSU. Pregame begins at 5:30 here on WWL, and the first pitch is at 6 o'clock, and you'll hear all the action. It's brought to you in part by our great sponsors, Cummins, First American Bank, Gary Lane Cadillac, Keefe's Heating and Air, and Louisiana Dental Center. It's all on WWL and live on the free Odyssey app. Go LSU. All right, we're going to get to a few of your text messages here in just a few minutes. Really a lot to talk about, but I'm truly bothered by this idea that, and this is not new to this year. This is not just under Trump, but under Trump, it seems like there's less food coming in from the USDA. And that is becoming a problem for Louisiana and a problem for New Orleans. But this is a problem that exists every year. And I can't let it go any longer without just talking more about it and finding a way for all of us to get together and just really accepting nothing less than doing more to feed children who come into this world and don't have food. Now, I don't know about the money situation. I know that people get money from the government to take care of kids. I know the money doesn't always go to the kids. But nonetheless, when kids are out of school and they don't have the meals that they get at school, they don't have food at home. And this should not exist. It's 2025. We have plenty. We throw away plenty. This should not happen. And it's on all of us, I think, to do something about it. So we're going to continue to talk about that. I'm not going to come up with a solution today or tomorrow or the next day, but this is going to be something that I want to work on this show. And I want to find a way to help. I want to find a way to get you to help, because there's got to be something we can do. And one of the problems that I perceive is, you know, when you start thinking about going through channels, you know, to get the food to the kids. I mean, I wish we could just hand the food right to the children. But that's just not practical. And we don't know who the kids are, but somebody does. And so it has to go through channels to get there. And I worry about things getting lost in the channels. I worry about the channels, you know, costing too much and enough food doesn't get to the kids. So I'm going to do all I can to look into this and to find a simple way that you and I can help, because there should be no child in this listening area that is hungry because they don't have a school meal. No kid should deal with that. And it breaks my heart to think about the faces of children that are hungry. I mean, you know, we didn't have everything when I was growing up, but we had food and we had snacks and we were kids. And some kids just can't be kids because they're hungry. All right, let's get to a few calls. Let's go to Slidell. Jenny, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Jenny.
Hi, Scoot. It worries me, too, with the hungry children. And I was a school nurse for a long time, and now I'm a nurse practitioner in Slidell. But, you know, my thoughts are, you know, New Orleans is known for our food. And I think every restaurant who advertises on Lagniappe, you know, into Lagniappe, should donate a certain percent of food, and it could be sent to the schools, because I think some of the schools are open in the summer for a little while. Yeah. And perhaps in those areas where the restaurants are, they can send some meals to the schools and the parents or whoever can pick up those meals there. You know, and that could be an idea.
Yeah, and I don't want to put it all on the restaurants, because I know that the markup and the profit margin for restaurants is not as broad as you might think. And while a lot of restaurants are doing well, some are, you know, doing all they can to get by. But I think this is a problem, Jenny, for all of us. And I just think that we should all face this problem and not accept anything less than doing something about getting food to these kids. I can't imagine being a kid and being hungry. I can't imagine that.
Yeah, I agree with you. What about a GoFundMe?
I thought about that last night, and that might be an option. But what I want to make sure is that this doesn't get caught up in some kind of chain, some kind of channel where, you know, the money is lost and you know, people are paid too much to make this happen. I mean, I'd love to be able to just put the food right into the hands of these kids or these families with kids that are hungry. And, you know, you can't necessarily do that. So I'm going to look into all of that. But I did think about GoFundMe last night, so that's a possibility. Jenny, I appreciate the call. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Let's go to Coleman with a couple of quick text messages.
All right, this first one says, Scoot, there are warmongers on both sides. They're sending military supplies to both Israel and Ukraine and extending the endless war that America has been in for the last 80 years.
Well, yeah, I mean, but we're talking now about more of an active role. And what is inspiring Donald Trump is the desire to get involved. I mean, after Fox News showed this military operation from Israel and described it as military genius, Donald Trump just couldn't avoid wanting to get involved in that and be part of that as a way of, you know, I mean, the first thing is to feed his ego. And, you know, we can't have a president who wants to feed his ego that gets us into a war. And by the way, this was the guy who ran on the campaign trail who was going to end all wars. And I'm sure he mentioned day one, I'm going to end wars. Day one, I'm ending the war in Ukraine. I'm going to get with my friend Vladimir Putin. We're going to end the war. Well, that's not happening. I mean, that was a joke. I didn't think it was going to happen. And I got criticized from Trump supporters. You're just bashing Trump. No, I was being honest with you. And it turns out that I was right. Donald Trump could not end the war day one. And that's still going on. And then now we have this going on. And the idea that he changed after watching, you know, Fox News and this presentation of the coverage of the conflict with Israel and Iran, that's when he wants to get involved. You know, you don't form foreign policy by watching the Fox News channel, because that's just not a real depiction of exactly what's going on. And then the president, and we're getting, you know, I mean, Maggie Haberman, you can say whatever you want about her, but this woman has inside sources close to Trump, and she is accurate with everything she says. I can't think of the last time Maggie Haberman was not right on when she said something about something was going on with Trump. And she says that he's rejecting, and he even said it publicly, he's rejecting the intel of the United States. So somehow he has the wisdom to know more than the intelligence that the United States has. It's just absurd.
All right, two more. This one says, when you're talking about Trump's indecisiveness, this text says, the power of X made him change his mind. The MAGA's response made him change. Basically saying that Trump was responding to the feedback that he gets from Twitter, X posts, you know, other MAGAs.
I don't think there's any doubt that that's part of the equation. I mean, it is. And, you know, sometimes citizens don't know what's best. Sometimes leaders, whether a president, a governor, a mayor, whatever, sometimes leaders have to stand up and do what they know is the right thing to do, regardless of what the public thinks. But we don't have politicians who have that kind of courage. You know, they do what the voters want because they're more concerned about being elected or reelected than they are concerned about doing the right thing for America.
And I leave you with this one. I'm very pro-Israel, but we must not commit U.S. forces unless we are attacked in force. We do not need Iran's allies getting into this.
Yeah, and I don't think President Trump should be calling Iran defenseless, because all it's going to take is them to prove that they're not defenseless for us to be in a big, bad situation. And President Trump now changing his mind again when it comes to the direction from ICE and the raids. I mean, now he's talking about, yeah, now we're going to go to hotels and the agricultural workers. Now we're going to go do that. He decided that last night. You can't change your mind every week when it comes to big issues. That is not a stable mind. And right now, President Trump's mind does not appear to be stable. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be right back. On All right, if you're working, thanks for being with us. Love those of you who tune in while you're working at a desk, in the car, or at home. Thanks for tuning in while you're working. Good afternoon. It's hot if you're not in the rain, and there are going to be big thunderstorms around again this afternoon into this evening, and then we're going to, over the weekend, get into that traditional 40% chance of rain pattern. I think it officially becomes summer on Friday, but it's felt like summer for quite some time. Look, I really want you all to help me with this. I want to find a way to do this in a streamlined way. I am just intensely hurt by the idea that school's out, and because some kids are not getting meals at school, they don't have food. How can you grow up and be a healthy individual if, when your body and mind are developing, you don't have proper nutrition? And too many people are at a disadvantage. And I don't see why that should even be acceptable in America in the year 2025. We have food. We have money. We should not allow this to happen. And if you can think of a way for me to use you, use this audience, for us to all get together and make sure that kids don't go hungry, especially in the summer when they lose those school meals. But I mean, any time of year. I mean, this may be a lot bigger than just a summertime thing. But I just don't think we should accept the idea that some kids go hungry because they're missing out on their school meals. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Also, my email address is scoot@wwl.com. That's scoot@wwl.com. All right, let's go uptown to Clem. Clem, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Scoot, how are you?
I'm good.
good. I have a first step for you in some information gathering on the children's hunger issue, which is crucial. I agree with you. You're probably familiar with Toop's Meadery, the renowned New Orleans restaurant. Chef Isaac Toop's and his wife Amanda have actually been running a program along this line for several summers now. I don't know all the details, but I know they have been doing a summer program where they provide lunches to students who are out of school and going without, as you've just described. So I would suggest that you contact Chef Isaac, bring him on the show. I'm sure that he has a lot of details about the issue and can give you some background and how he has developed the logistics for rolling out his program and how it might be able to be grown.
That's good advice. So, I'm gonna look into that, Clem. Do you know how the kids actually get the meals, or how do they define the children that need the meals?
I think he has done that himself. He has put all the infrastructure in place. So he would have a model for you on how it can be done and what has worked and what hasn't, and how it could be taken even to the next largest format. So call Chef Isaac at Toop's Meadery.
Okay, I'm gonna work on that. Clem, I appreciate the call, and I know this is not something that we're gonna solve in one day, but we got to get on this. And look, I'm not the kind of person who likes to put a guilt trip on anybody, because I don't think we should be burdened with guilt. But you know, as a human being, I don't want to be comfortable with the idea that there are children who, because they lose meals when school's out, they don't have something to eat. That cannot be tolerated in our country. It's 2025. We have food. We have money. I mean, we all have a little bit, not all of us, but most people have a little bit that they can give. And so I want to try to find a way to help. I'm gonna try and get a hold of Chef Isaac Toop's Eatery, and see if there's something that we can do to help him, to help that cause. And I'm not gonna let this die. Now, we're gonna follow through on this, and I need your help. I can't do this alone. And I'm not Elon Musk. I'm not a lot of people. I don't have the money to totally finance this thing. But there are things that we can do, and we've got to step forward and do something for those kids. And I know they're not our kids, but they are our kids. These are the kids that are going to grow up, and many of them are going to grow up and they're going to stay in New Orleans. And these are the kids who are going to be, you know, part of our community, you know, for a long time. They may be part of our community forever. And I just think that in America today, it's really sad when there are young people who don't have basic nutrition, because their brains and bodies are developing, and if they don't have proper nutrition, they're going to be at an intrinsic disadvantage later in life, and that's not fair to them. They didn't ask to be in that situation. Nobody asks to be born into the situation they're born into. You or I could have been born into that situation. We didn't ask to be born into the situation that we were born into. So these kids didn't ask for that. And that's why I think it's so important for us to come together and try, as a community, try and do more about that. So we'll be talking about that as time goes on. All right. This is a real milestone of a day. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, today we wish happy birthday to Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney is 83 years old. You know, when I was a young preteen and I first saw the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show and I became a Beatles fan, man, I never thought that I would be in a position years later to be on the radio wishing Paul McCartney an 83rd happy birthday. Paul McCartney, 83, still kicking it, still touring, and that whole concept of the baby boomer generation, that youth was everything, that has been defied by the baby boomer generation. I'm Scoot on the Air. And we'll be back on WWL. All right, very sad day on the Scoot on the Air calendar on this day in 2011. Clarence Clemons, the saxophone player in the Bruce Springsteen E Street Band, died at the age of 69. He suffered a stroke, and it was sad. He was replaced by his nephew, Jay Clemons. But man, Clarence Clemons could play a mean tenor sax, man. He could make that thing scream. And he was just such a big, great presence on that stage, too. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. I want to continue to talk about what we can do to help the kids who are going hungry. And there's less food coming in from the government under President Trump. I don't know how much he's had to do with that, but it seems to be a fact. And kids should not go hungry. And there are some children who are hungry because they're not getting meals at school, and that should not happen. We shouldn't tolerate that. So we'll talk more about that. Also, we've got a lot more coming up. So lawmakers have now quietly stopped funding building the wall. Wow. We'll talk about that.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, it's Wednesday afternoon, so we are halfway to the weekend. LSU plays this evening against Arkansas. They've beaten Arkansas already. I should be able to beat them again. I think LSU wins tonight. I just think LSU is on a roll. And you know, as kind of lame as LSU was in the SEC tournament, man, they saved it for the right time. The bats are swinging, bats are noisy. They're just doing a great job. And it's just, you know, it's fun to watch them. And I know that there are like hardcore baseball enthusiasts who really love a pitcher's duel that's a really low-scoring game. I'm not a baseball enthusiast to that point to where I can really appreciate that. Man, I like when the bats are swinging. I like when the score is ranking up there. I love it. So I'm looking forward to the game this evening. And, of course, we've got the pregame beginning at 5:30. And the first pitch is at 6 o'clock right here on WWL. Some people are just stupid. There's a man who went to court wearing a T-shirt, and the judge scolded the guy for wearing the T-shirt. You know, I don't understand why people make mistakes that are just such obvious mistakes. This guy wears a T-shirt to court. And first of all, I hate this word. I'm going to use it this one time. I don't like to use the word. I hate the word. To me, it's an ugly word. I mean, it's legal. It's not like we're breaking any FCC regulations, but it's a word that I just don't use on the air because it's a bodily function. It's something that happens with the human body. You know, we all do it, but it's such an ugly thing that I don't even like to use the word. And this guy's wearing a T-shirt that relates to this bodily function. He wears a T-shirt that says "World's Best Farter." I mean, I don't think that's appropriate anywhere, but certainly not in court. And if you were the world's greatest, that, I mean, why would you tell people? I mean, why would you brag about it? I mean, again, it's a bodily function. I mean, unless you're like, you know, my grandson thinks that's the funniest thing in the world. That. He just thinks that's hysterical. That's okay. You know, I mean, if you're a kid, you know, and you think this bodily function that makes noise and stinks, you know, that can be funny. But you don't wear that to court. And I mean, why brag about being the best at that? So, you know, some people just don't have it upstairs. All right. So we've been talking about Donald Trump changing his mind. He changed his mind again. So mass deportations changed when people from the hotel industry and the agricultural industry, in particular in California, told the president, hey, man, you're destroying our staffs. You can't do that. I mean, we've got staff members who are illegal. So then President Trump says, okay, we're not going to target hotels and the agricultural industry. Well, very hypocritical when it comes to the whole concept of what he ran on, mass deportations. But he said, okay, we're going to leave the hotel and agricultural industry alone. Well, then what happens? Well, he starts to hear that that's very hypocritical. So then the president last night changed his mind and says, okay, we're going after the hotel and agricultural industries. A president of the United States should not change his mind that easily. He should be more stable. And Donald Trump does not seem to have a completely stable mind right now. I mean, I get text messages. I just read something, a response to a video that I posted on Substack. And I just answered it. Well, look, I can't say that the president has this or that, but there are people who say that he's got these definite mental illnesses. I don't know that, so I'm not going to say that until we knew if that's the case. But obviously, something is not right. You just don't change your mind like that. Also, how do you reject U.S. intelligence and use your own intelligence to determine what you should do in the situation with the conflict Iran-Israel? How does Donald Trump know? He's rejecting U.S. intelligence, says, I don't really care about that. Where did he get this experience? The years that he spent in the military? Is that where he got this experience? Somehow, in his conventional wisdom, he seems to know better than U.S. intelligence what to do. And I think he has made a big mistake by saying that Iran is defenseless. Because a country like Iran is going to prove that they're not defenseless. And they're going to do something bad. And I want you to remember that you heard about that. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope and pray it doesn't happen. But don't be surprised if it does happen. I hope I'm wrong. But you just don't say Iran is defenseless. And you know who their friend is? Their friend is Russia. Russia's got weapons. Russia's got nukes. Russia's got a lot of stuff that they can just funnel to Iran. So I think that was a mistake. And also the idea that, you know, it's a waste of time to call the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, and express any kind of empathy over the tragedy that happened. The truth is, maybe Donald Trump and maybe some of his followers are glad a Democrat is dead. You know, when you start to put politics above humanity, I think you're making a grave mistake. And a lot of Americans are paying attention. This movement against President Trump is growing. And if you're a diehard Trump supporter, you should be concerned. And if you're a Republican, you should be concerned, because this is going to have, at this point, if this continues, this is going to have an impact on the midterm elections. So anyway, we'll see what happens. Also today, I'm so bothered by the idea that school's out and some kids who don't have the meals from school are going hungry. If they don't have the meals from school, they don't have meals. And we can't allow this to happen. And I don't want that to sound like a cliche, but, you know, you and I have some resources. You and I have food. This country, this city, we have food. We just have to get it to these kids, because no kid should grow up without proper nutrition. And these young kids, are their brains and bodies are developing at a time when they're not privileged to have basic nutrition. And that is sad. That is going to be a disadvantage for them later in life. And no kid should go hungry in the summertime because they're missing out school lunches. And kids go hungry regularly. So I want us to get together. I want you to help me. And this is not going to be something we're going to solve today. But I really want to follow through on this. And I want to take this seriously. I want to find a way to make sure that we get food to these kids. And I mean immediately. And I don't want to go through something where there's a lot of channels and stuff gets lost in the channels. Money gets lost in the channels. I want to get this food directly to these kids. Somebody called last hour and said Chef Isaac Toops of Toops Eatery has some kind of system in play where he does get food to the kids. I'm going to try and get in touch with him, and we're going to try and get him on the show and see what he's doing and see if we can help him. But I will take any suggestions from any of you about how we can do a better job, because these kids are part of our community. They're little human beings, and we should not allow this to happen. And we shouldn't just hear about the problem. Oh, yeah, that's really sad. Hey, where do you want to go eat tonight? You know, it shouldn't be a problem that we just dismiss. And it's so easy to dismiss problems because getting involved sometimes is a hassle. And I don't like to put guilt trips on anybody, but I don't see how we can be happy knowing that there are kids that, because school's out, they're not getting some meals. If you want to join us with a comment about anything we talk about, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. All right, Ian Hoke is out of his meeting. He's back with us. Good afternoon.
And good afternoon to you, too, as well.
Yeah, so let's try and get a hold of Chef Isaac Toops.
Okay.
I think she said the place was Toops Eatery, and apparently he has... Meatery. Okay, Meatery. And apparently he has something in play that gets food to the kids, and maybe we can help him with his cause. But I just don't think we should just hear this as a news story and not do anything about it. Let's go to David on the West Bank. David, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Scoot. Hey, I'm calling. I'm from Gretna on the West Bank.
Okay.
I'm calling. There's a restaurant. I know a lot of people have heard about it, Chicken's Kitchen. The man is doing great things. He's feeding kids for free. It's on Durban in Gretna. And all they got to do is go in, and he's feeding them for free all summer.
All right.
And he has got with other places, another place in Gretna, Fantasy Tacos. They did a little thing to feed kids like one day a week. You know, I mean, you know, it's hard for some of these businesses.
It's easy to want to put all the pressure on the restaurants. Hey, you got food, you throw food away, let's put it on the restaurants. It should not be all up to the restaurants. It should be up to all of us.
But I wanted to put it out there for him. They can look, people can look him up.
Yeah, I'm going to look him up.
His name right now, but Chicken's Kitchen, he's feeding kids. All they got to do is they have to be there in person, but he's feeding them.
All right. We're going to find
it. Him a big plate, but he's giving them enough. But he's doing great things, man. He really is.
David, I appreciate that.
And I just wanted to put that out there because he's feeding a lot of kids. He's trying to help. He's trying to get with other people to get things, you know, to do things because it's hard for these kids, you know?
It is.
I mean, not everybody has it like other people, you know?
We're going to find out about this. David, I appreciate the call. Chicken's Kitchen on Durbany, on the West Bank. We're gonna find out about that, and I'll follow up on that as well. So, David, thank you for that that comment. Let's go to Joey in New Orleans. Hey, Joey.
Hey, Scoot. How's it going?
Good.
I was calling to say the same thing the guy before me just said about Chicken's Kitchen. He's doing some really good work, and I'm sure he could use a hand from anybody. If you had some donations to maybe go over and drop off, or if you all get ready to do anything, maybe you can show him some love. Now, I would like to ask that people, if you don't need it, of course, don't let the people get it who needs it, right? But he's doing some really good work with, and the food is good. Let me say that. The food is delicious. So he's not giving away anything.
Okay.
His food is really, really good. And I'm really happy that he's doing it. And God's really going to bless him.
Joey, we're going to look up Chicken's Kitchen, and we're gonna talk to them, and we're going to see what we can do to help them. So I appreciate that call. All right, let's go to Robert. Hey, Robert, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, I just wanted to reiterate on the same thing the last two callers said about a Chicken's Kitchen, man.
Okay.
The guys served over 2,000 and some meals between lunch and dinner. I mean, between breakfast and lunch for these kids. Maybe you could collaborate with them somehow. But I just wanted to reiterate on the same thing your last two callers said. And one quick more thing, Scoot. Just a shout out to all the truck drivers that listen to you, Scoot, from one to four. I know you said about all your office personnel, but they got some truck drivers out here.
Hey, man, you're working. If you're a truck driver, you're working. And I do appreciate all the truck drivers who listen. And, you know, we've got truck drivers who listen, even though they're driving in different parts of the country. They're still tuned into the Odyssey app. So I appreciate all the truck drivers. I appreciate all the people who are delivering packages and in and out of trucks. And in this hot weather, it gets hot in those trucks, and you're constantly in and out of them.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's hot.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say that, Stu. One more thing. Shout out to my boy, Andy, who's a first time listening to you today. And that's all I wanted to say, Stu. Y'all have a great day. And check out Chicken's Kitchen. Maybe y'all collaborate somehow and do something awesome for these kids for the summer. Thanks again. Right.
Robert, thank you. And thanks for turning somebody onto our show. I love that when somebody tells somebody, hey, listen to Scoot. You know, if you don't like the show, that's fine. I mean, I can't make everybody happy. But, I'd love for you to tell people about the show and let them make up their own mind. And I would suggest that if you're just tuning in, don't listen for an hour. Don't listen for, one day. You know, we cover over time. We cover a lot of different things. It's politics. It's pop culture. It's your opinions. And we cover a lot of different topics. And we do things that no other radio show in this country is doing. And I'm proud of that. And I always prided myself on trying to be unique on the radio. And it's something that I built my career on. And I love continuing it today. All right, we're going to come back with calls. We're also going to come back with some of your text messages. And if you do have a comment, the Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Heart tonight in Baton Rouge. It should be awesome. I'd love to be there, but I'm not going to make it. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. You know, I want to make a confession. You know, when I was a young rock DJ, I was playing, the early Heart songs like, Magic Man and Barracuda. I was playing those songs. I got to admit, I like newer Heart better than older Heart. That's me. I know a lot of people are going to disagree, but like, I like this song. I like the newer Heart stuff. Even better than the older stuff. All right, we're going to come back on WWL. Yeah, I mean, the president can't seem to make up his mind. I mean, dude, when you're president, you got to display a stable mind, and you can't be going back and forth. We're going to do this. No, we're going to do this. No, we're going to do this. I mean, the White House is not stable right now, and President Trump's brain does not seem stable. I posted a video about this on the Scoot on the Air Substack account. Just go to substack.com, find Scoot on the Air. I would love for you to become a subscriber. And again, I want to remind you that if you are tired of some of the juvenile hate from misinformed trollers on Facebook, then join me on Substack. It's a whole different group. You're going to get news. You're going to find out exactly what's going on right now. You're going to get news that you're not going to get anywhere else. And it's a more civil, more mature audience. There's disagreement. It's okay to disagree. But there's none of that misinformed juvenile hate that you find on Facebook. And if it shows up, I've got a social media manager, and she's going to cut you out right away. You're done. You're not going to be part of Scoot on the Air Substack. You're going to miss out on a lot of stuff if you want to get ugly. If you want to get ugly, stay on Facebook. But for the rest of us, it's really Substack is a great place to be. All right. Before I get to your calls, and if you're on hold, just hang on. We'll get to your calls and texts coming up. It's time to take a look at Scoot's news briefs. All right. What happens in the conflict between Israel and Iran? And the level of U.S. involvement is anybody's guess.
President Trump will not say if he's decided to order a U.S. strike on Iran. Asked if he'll move forward.
You don't seriously think I'm going to answer that question?
At the White House.
I may do it. I may not do it. I mean, nobody knows what I'm going to do.
Pentagon Chief Pete Hegseth tells a Senate panel he's given the president strike options, but will not say if the military will help with Israeli strikes on Iran.
Any decisions on this matter are at the presidential level.
In Tehran, Iran's supreme leader rejected U.S. calls for an unconditional surrender. The president's response?
Say good luck.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
All right, look, here's my concern, and I love this show, and I love that we're doing like news briefs here, but we can, comment on it, unlike the objective news. Look, here's my problem with this. President Trump is acting like Iran has no alternatives, no resources to get back at us. There are terror cells in the United States. If I'm not mistaken, they can reach U.S. military bases. They can cause a lot of trouble for us. They can bring us into this. If the president has this bully mentality and acts like Iran can't do anything, Iran's going to prove they can. I hope it doesn't get to that point. Missile strikes are taking a back seat now. Israeli warplanes are hammering the Iranian capital.
A spokesman for Iran's foreign ministry has issued a warning that an American intervention in the ongoing Israeli strikes targeting his country would spark an all-out war. Esmail Baghari made the comments in an interview live on Al Jazeera English. It was his first in the ongoing conflict. Donald Trump initially distanced himself from Israeli strikes on Iran, but has hinted at greater U.S. involvement, saying he wants something much bigger than a ceasefire. The U.S. has also sent warplanes to the region. Israel warplanes pounded Iran's capital overnight and into Wednesday, hitting a facility used to make uranium centrifuges and another that made missile components, the Israeli military says. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
All right, an appeals court is hearing arguments about President Trump's deployment of the troops to Los Angeles.
A federal appeals court in San Francisco heard arguments on whether the Trump administration should return control of National Guard troops to California.
The statute says the president may call into federal service members and units of the Guard of any state in such numbers that he considers necessary.
That's Brett Shumate, the federal government's attorney. Shumate pointed to the ongoing protests in Los Angeles and said the Guard is necessary to protect federal officers and buildings. Last week, Governor Gavin Newsom filed a lawsuit. He accused President Trump of inflaming tensions, breaching state sovereignty, and wasting resources. A federal judge ruled that the Guard deployment was illegal and exceeded Trump's authority. That decision was halted after the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals temporarily paused the order, which directed Trump to return control of the soldiers to Newsom. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
All right, the big, beautiful bill passed by the House is getting picked apart like a vulture picks apart the carcass of a dead gazelle in the Senate. Republicans plan to get it done before July 4th, but apparently that's not going to happen.
Senate Republicans are proposing deeper Medicaid cuts, including work requirements for parents of teens, as they look for ways to offset tax breaks in their version of what President Trump calls the big, beautiful bill.
We're making some common sense reforms to Medicaid to eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse.
Senate Majority Leader John Thune says the cuts are much needed.
Removing people who should not be on the rolls.
For parents who'll have to work to receive food aid, the Senate changed the proposed age of children from 7 in the House bill to 10 years old. It also boosts a tax break for seniors to $6,000. It keeps a $10,000 cap on deductions for state and local taxes, something some GOP lawmakers in high-tax states want to quadruple. Democratic Senate Leader Chuck Schumer says even a few reluctant Republicans could force big changes to the bill.
More hospitals will close, especially rural hospitals. And I tell my colleagues, that's mainly in red states.
GOP leaders are pushing to fast-track the bill. President Trump has asked for a vote by the 4th of July. I'm Jennifer King.
All right, security officials are telling senators that threats to lawmakers are on the rise, but law enforcement does not have the resources to respond.
Security officials briefed senators on Capitol Hill in the wake of politically motivated assassinations in Minnesota. The suspect had dozens of members of Congress, in addition to state lawmakers and others on this list. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer blasted budget cuts to a Department of Homeland Security initiative.
Right now, we need to give law enforcement more resources to prevent these horrific attacks, not less. A program in charge of doing these things shouldn't have fewer than 10 people and be led by a 22-year-old with no experience.
The program, known as CP3, is tasked with preventing targeted violence and terrorism. Schumer also says,
when political opponents are treated like enemies, danger follows.
Credible threats to members of Congress have more than doubled in the last decade. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
All right. Asked if he had spoken to Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, a Democrat, about the horrific assassinations in Minnesota of Democrats, President Trump chose partisan politics over decency.
I think the governor of Minnesota is so whacked out. I'm not calling him. Why would I call him? I could call him and say, hi, how you doing? The guy doesn't have a clue. He's a mess. So, you know, I could be nice and call him, but why waste time?
Interesting that he says the guy doesn't have a clue, he's a mess. There are people who use those words to describe the President of the United States. The previous administration warned that Americans are drinking too much. The current administration has decided to stop warning Americans that they're drinking too much.
The current U.S. dietary guidelines say women should have no more than one drink a day and men should have no more than two. The new guidelines will likely not recommend any specific number, but simply encourage Americans to drink in moderation. It would be a big change months after former Surgeon General Vivek Murthy called for warning labels on alcoholic drinks about the possible cancer risks. Oncologist Dr. Dale Shepard.
More people die every year of preventable
alcohol-related cancers than drunken driving.
Michael Wallace, CBS News.
All right. Also, the administration has stopped the program to determine whether or not it's true that every woman is one drink away from being a lesbian. All right. After hearing a lot of testimony in the Sean Diddy Combs trial concerning the freak-offs, it was time for the jury to actually watch video of the Diddy freak-offs.
After weeks of testimony from Sean Diddy Combs' ex-girlfriends about sex marathons, jurors at his trial got to see videos of them, which are at the heart of the case. Brief clips of three videos were available for viewing only by jurors, the judge, and lawyers because of their explicit nature. Combs listened through headphones as the videos were shown. Defense lawyers have said they proved the music mogul was engaging in consensual sex rather than committing crimes. He's pleaded not guilty. After 6 weeks of witnesses and evidence, prosecutors said they plan to rest their case on Wednesday. After that, Combs' lawyers say they'll start calling witnesses. At court in Manhattan, I'm Julie Walker.
And in the interest of accuracy, the jurors asked to watch the video a second time. And that's it for a look at Scoot's news briefs. So lawmakers in Texas are quietly pulling funding for Texas's border wall project. It was about 4 years ago that Texas Governor Greg Abbott held a press conference to announce construction of a border wall. There's a new report indicating that state lawmakers are quietly pulling the funding. They don't want people to know, but they're pulling the funding for the state border wall project. State Senator Joan Huffman confirmed that none of the $3.4 billion for ongoing border security efforts is included in the state budget, is going toward the wall project. In 2021, it was debuted that Texas's version would be very similar to President Trump's version of the wall project, but now that's being pulled. Let me explain this. If building the wall was really as important as Donald Trump made it seem when he ran for office the first time, if it was really that important, if it was not just a campaign slogan, then Donald Trump would have said, look, I have a second term. If I'm elected, I'm going to continue this project and we are going to finish building the wall. But he didn't. Donald Trump himself proved that the whole build the wall thing, the whole build the wall rhetoric was nothing but a campaign slogan. And Steve Bannon got busted and went to jail because he was stealing money because they were trying to get money from people to build the wall. And Steve Bannon used that money himself. He broke the law. And so, again, if this were not a campaign slogan, Trump would have continued the Build the Wall project in his second term, but he did not even mention it. All right, if you're on hold, I promise we're going to get to your calls. We've also got some text messages coming up. And if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. On this day on the SOTA calendar, on this day in 2011, Amy Winehouse just got out of rehab. So she just gets out of rehab on this day in 2011, and about an hour late for a concert, she shows up at a concert in Serbia. She stumbles onto the stage and can barely sing, and the rest of the tour was canceled. You know, you really have to want it to make rehab work, and I guess Amy Winehouse didn't want it, and we know what happened to her. Dead at 27. I'm Scoot on the air. We'll be right back on...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
WWL. All right, we have a couple of names to look into. And again, if you want to send me any information about possibly helping out the children in the New Orleans area, really throughout this area, who don't get regular meals during the day because they're not in school. Some of these kids depend on school meals to eat. And when school's out in the summer, they don't eat. I find this just to be tragically horrifying. And we as a community should not tolerate it. I've got Chef Isaac Toops of Toops Meadery and also the Kitchen Chicken on Derby on the West Bank. They feed kids free, apparently. We're going to get a hold of both of those people. And if you have any suggestion, you can call our show or text us or send me an email, scoot@wwl.com. All right, let's go to Mr. Z on the West Bank. Mr. Z, I appreciate the call and thank you for hanging on, sir. Hello, Mr. Z. Yeah, he's been on hold for a little while. Mr. Z, are you there? Okay, I guess we can. Okay, I'm sorry, Mr. Z. If you're listening, I apologize. I know we had a lot of things to get to before I could get to your call. So apparently, there's another Republican who's going to challenge Senator Bill Cassidy, and I know a lot of people are just chomping at the bit because they don't like Bill Cassidy because they say he's a rhino, an acronym for Republican in name only. I want to remind all of you that it was rhinos, independents, and Democrats that elected President Trump. There are not enough pure Republicans. There are not enough pure Republicans. And I don't want to say true Republicans because, you know, a lot of the MAGA people are not true Republicans. In many ways, Donald Trump is not a true conservative or a true Republican. But Bill Cassidy is going to have some competition, and I think that's okay because rhinos determine the outcome of the election, not the true Republicans, because there aren't enough of them. So you can bash rhinos all you want, but if you didn't have rhinos on your side, if you're a diehard Trump supporter, if you're part of the right-wing radical movement, then you better kiss the feet of the rhinos, because if you didn't have them, Trump would not be in office. If you don't have them, right-wing radicals are not going to get elected. And this surge, this emotional surge against the president and against the right-wing radical movement, I think is really picking up steam. And I think this is going to have an impact on the midterm elections and the 2028 presidential election. But a lot can happen between now and then. So Republican State Senator from New Iberia, Blake Magez is announcing his candidacy to run against Bill Cassidy. I like Bill Cassidy because Bill Cassidy has not been afraid to stand up to Donald Trump. Now, we'll see what the voters think when it comes time for the election. But I like Bill Cassidy because he has conviction and he was not afraid to stand up to Donald Trump. So, again, we'll see what happens. But, you know, this right-wing radical movement is being exposed as being very, very superficial, very mean, very hateful. The idea that the leader of the right-wing radical movement, Donald Trump, says, oh, why would I even call that guy? No, the governor of Minnesota. I mean, this is what presidents do. They express empathy. And I think that this is working against, you know, many Republicans. So, again, we'll have to see what happens. Iran's leader is rejecting Donald Trump's demand to surrender. And Donald Trump says that Iran is defenseless. Well, Iran's leader is saying that if the U.S. intervenes, this would cause irreparable damage. What does that mean? Well, we don't know, but if the U.S. gets involved, it's kind of like, when you have a gun, you know, you're not supposed to pull out the gun to try to scare somebody. If you pull out a gun, you're supposed to be prepared to use it. If you pull out a gun, you're supposed to be prepared to kill somebody, not injure them. You're supposed to be prepared to kill somebody. And that's the situation here. I mean, if the U.S. gets involved, we better be prepared to go the full distance. And I mean, I'm not talking about nukes, but I mean, we better be prepared to be engaged in war, because that's what could happen. And I'm concerned about that. And I'm concerned that we have a president who is kind of wishy-washy. We got a president who can't make up his mind about things and is showing signs of having an unstable mind, you know, back and forth. I mean, you know, you can't, once you make a decision when it comes to like war or things like that, you can't go, oh, well, we decided we're not going to do it. No, once you're in, you're in. And it concerns me right now to see how his mind is working, going back and forth on things like immigration and deportations. you know, you've got to be a person that has strong conviction, and you're willing to make a decision and stick with your conviction. So I am praying for the best. All right. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 2024. Oh, wow. That was just last year. Justin Timberlake was arrested for DWI after a night out of drinking in Sag Harbor, New York. He told the arresting officer, "This is going to ruin my tour." Yeah. You know, yeah, he got busted, and I guess he thought maybe the arresting officer would go, "Well, we don't want to ruin Justin Timberlake's tour, so, hey, it's okay, just go on your way." No, he was arrested, and it seems like he's done a good job of owning up to that and trying to be a person who doesn't drink and drive. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. And on the Scoot on the Air calendar today, we wish a happy birthday also to Blake Shelton. Blake Shelton, 49 years old today. All right, so we've got a lot to talk about in the next hour, and I do want to just continue this theme of talking about the kids that I feel so badly for who, because school is out, they don't have meals that they get when school is in session. Also, Tyler Perry accused of sexual harassment. That's coming up.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, Wednesday afternoon already, so halfway to the weekend. I'm Scoot on the Air. Very glad you are with us. I just posted a new video during the break. I posted a new video on Scoot on the Air Substack. Just go to substack.com, and I hope you will all join me there. Scoot on the Air Substack, and go to substack.com, find Scoot on the Air. I just posted a video about Paul McCartney turning 83 years old today, and the video is about how the baby boomer generation thought that youth was everything. Being young was everything. And they thought that once you got over 30, you were old. Well, look at baby boomers today. We are the establishment. Mick Jagger is over 80. Paul McCartney, 83. Rod Stewart is 79. He's about to turn 80. I don't know. Maybe he's turned. I don't think we've had his birthday, but I think it's coming up. Rod Stewart's about to be 80. So look, the message, if you're an Xer, millennial, or Zoomer, the message is, man, take care of your bod. Take care of yourself. I mean, do healthy things. Just, you know, don't abuse your body. Don't kill yourself with drugs. Don't drink too much. And take care of your body. And man, you can kick ass later in life. And that's not a message that I got. You know, for some reason, I, you know, felt like taking care of my body and taking care of myself. And, you know, I'm doing great today and I'm old. But if you take care of yourself, I mean, you can have a great time later in life. And that's not a message that baby boomers got. You know, we didn't even think about getting old. We didn't think there was going to be a pill to help keep us active after we reached a certain age. But the baby boomers invented that pill. So, you know, give that generation credit. You know, we got older. We didn't want to give up that part of our lives. So, you know, our generation helped invent, or the demand from our generation helped create the pill that, you know, keeps us going after a certain age. So, you know, it's awesome. But, you know, that whole video is about the youth mentality of the baby boomer generation. And how interesting it is that the baby boomer generation has matured. And also, I ask, if you're younger and you're into the Beatles, what's your favorite Beatles song? And if you're younger, if you didn't grow up with the Beatles, are you even into the Beatles? So that is a feature right down. I'd love your response on Substack, Scoot on the Air Substack. We're talking about a number of things. Donald Trump, the president, has changed his mind about going after illegal immigrants who work for hotels in the agriculture industry. About 2 weeks ago, he said, "Okay, we're gonna leave you alone," because he got complaints from the hotel industry and agricultural industry, and they said, "Look, we need illegal immigrants. You can't come in here and raid us, or we're gonna have problems." And so he said, "Okay, we're not gonna do that. We're gonna leave you alone," which I thought was very hypocritical. I was okay with it, but I thought it was very hypocritical. So now the president suddenly changes his mind because I guess it got back to him that it was hypocritical. So now they're going after illegal immigrants in the hotel and in the agricultural industries. Also, the president is rejecting his own country's intel. I would like to think that U.S. intelligence is really keen, but President Trump is rejecting it, doesn't care about it. You know, I guess it might cause him to read the report, and it's well known that President Trump doesn't read. But, I mean, couldn't he have somebody read to him? I mean, couldn't he get like a Coca-Cola and some McDonald's and just kind of kick back in an easy chair? I'm sure President Trump has a recliner in the residential area of the White House. Couldn't he kick back in the recliner and have somebody read the report to him? But anyway, he's rejecting U.S. intel, and it seems like he's driven to want to get involved in this war, this conflict between Iraq and Israel. I'm sorry, Iran and Israel. Sometimes they all blend together to me. Israel and Iran. The report is that he was watching Fox News and he was really struck by this idea that Fox News was talking about the Israeli military genius and how they've done all this. And suddenly the president is using the pronoun we. We control the skies over Iran when couple of weeks ago, Israel said, actually, almost after it started, Israel said, we control the skies over Iran. But now the president wants credit for that. And I think the U.S. did help with that. But he's making it seem like, you know, we pretty much did it ourselves. And so this whole idea of getting involved on the part of Donald Trump seems to be driven by his ego. And damn it, I don't want a president who is making foreign policy decisions driven by his damn ego. I mean, I don't want to be in a freaking war. I just got a text from my daughter-in-law. And she said, are we all going to die? I mean, I'm watching these videos of people saying we're about to get involved in a nuclear war. I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to be okay. And I answered her, you know, during the break. But, you know, this stuff is scaring people because it's scary stuff. I mean, this is like big boy stuff, big girl stuff. And it's not stuff to play around with. And we've got a president in the White House who is driven by nothing but his damn ego. Nothing but his damn ego. And that's not going to do well. That doesn't work. And you don't tell Iran you're defenseless, because Iran is not defenseless. No country's defenseless. Yeah, like all the countries were during the trade thing, that the tariff thing that he started, like the countries were going to come running to us. Well, they didn't. So, you know, when you think and act like a damn bully, you know, you better make sure you're picking on people that really can't get up once you punch them. And so far, the president's not punching people who can't get up because they can get up. And this idea that he does not care about U.S. intel is really, you know, pretty scary. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Also, I started talking about this morning, and if you're just tuning in, we're going to continue with this. I'm not going to let this die. There is less food coming in from the USDA, from the government. And so there are more children who are not eating. They don't have food because school is out. And a lot of kids in this area depend on the meals that they get at school. And they're not getting meals during the summer. This breaks my heart. And I don't see how we can tolerate this. We have to do something. And I'm not exactly sure what to do, but I don't want to give money or food to something that is going to have a bunch of channels and it goes through all these channels and who knows if it gets to the kids. I want to do what I can and I want you to help me. I need your help. I can't do it alone. But I think we should bond together and just do something. I think of the faces of these kids that are young and they're growing up and their brains and their bodies are developing and they don't have proper nutrition. I mean, that breaks my heart. I mean, it doesn't affect my life other than it tears me up inside to think that there are kids who came into this world. They didn't ask to be born in that situation. And they're young kids who are going to be at a tremendous disadvantage later in life because they didn't have proper nutrition when their brains and bodies were developing. That's sad to me. We can't tolerate that. We can do better as a society. And we can find ways to spend money to make sure that these kids have food. So if you want to suggest anything, you can send me an email. Scoot@WWL.com is my email address, scoot@WWL.com. Or you can call or text our show. But I don't want to let this die. We can't solve it today. We can't solve it in a day or two. We can't solve it in a week. But I'm going to find a way to get some food to a lot of these kids who don't have food. They don't have three meals a day because they're not getting food at school. These kids should have food. Let's go to Ken. Ken, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yes, Scoot. How are you doing? Maybe a little bit of an awkward transition, but just a little insight into the business acumen of the Trump organization. If you go online to the Trump website for the new Trump phone and cell service, and you actually call the number, you get a Verizon out-of-service issue message that line no longer works, and it's a Verizon line.
I talked about that yesterday, that the Trump phone and Trump mobile can be deceptive, and there's a lot of things that are not disclosed, and they're using Verizon, AT&T, and I think T-Mobile, because they don't have the service themselves. So it's kind of a con job.
Well, and where are the phones actually manufactured? I mean, China. They're saying it's U.S. made, but no, the story said that's not feasible.
No, it's not U.S. made. They're made in China, but so they're lying about where they're made. I mean, it's a con job.
It absolutely is. So I thought you might, if you haven't looked at the number, I thought you might appreciate that.
I haven't called it yet. I do appreciate it, and I appreciate the call. I'm glad you exposed them for what they are. I mean, it's a fraud. Thanks a lot, Ken. From Homa, Tom, you're on WWL. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how we doing? I don't know if y'all recall me or not, but I'm one that usually complains about Ukraine war and a future war in Georgia that didn't materialize. But today we're going to be talking about Iran. How do you like that?
Okay. It's okay. We're talking about Iran, yes.
All right. Well, here we go. I'm going to tell you how I see things going if Trump gets involved in Iran, okay?
Okay.
If Trump gets involved in Iran, I'm going to tell you right now, I think he's going to get blown out in the midterms. I think the Democrats are going to take the House. I think this is pretty easy stuff. I think the dollar is going to become weaker because this is going to challenge the petrodollar. Once you start intervening and you start getting major foreign powers upset, things start moving around. Dollar loses the world's reserve currency status. It can get bad. I think the Democrats are going to flood us with foreigners and make us an economic zone again. I think the Democrats get the House. I think that ultimately, I'm going to give you the spoiler. This is the ultimate spoiler of what happens if we go into Iran. Get your pens and your papers out, kids. I'm giving you the big prediction. I think if we do that, it's going to be an ISIS-like organization that's going to take hold, perhaps like 3 or 4 or 5 even. I think they're going to be substantially weaker than what Iran is currently, but it's going to be much more volatile, just like Syria, which is why that was a bad idea too. And we're probably going to leave some military hardware on our way out, like we did in Afghanistan. I'm going to go ahead and throw that in there. I think that's going to happen too.
Okay.
And I think Israel, after that, will reign supreme over the Middle East. However, once they get comfortable, they're going to drop the bag somewhere along the way. And then it's all, I don't really know who kind of comes up with that from there. But I don't know. I would forecast get ready for the America to become less of a country, more of an economic zone. To which, by the way, if that really happens, if we really become an economic zone, if we still have to pay income taxes in an economic zone while other people kind of come in here and leave as they please, listen, we're going to be second-class citizens in our own country. I think that's a bad move, too.
All right, Tom, I think what you say is interesting, but, I'm not going to buy into this idea that the Democrats, as dumb as they have been, I don't know that they're dumb enough to not pick up on what's going on. I think they learned a big lesson in Trump winning again, and I think they know what they need to do. I could be wrong, but I don't think we're going to have a flood of people. If Democrats take over Congress, I don't think we're going to have things that just open the door, open the gates again at the border. I don't think that's going to happen. I think what Donald Trump, the one good thing Donald Trump did was make a statement about the border, and it just goes to show you how easily President Biden could have done something about the border, but failed to do something about the border. So I don't think the Democrats, again, as dumb as they are, I don't think they're going to make that same mistake again. And I think there's going to be a new wave among Democrats. And I think if the Democrats are smart, they're going to be more moderate and they're going to reject the far left. And unlike the Republican Party that embraced the far right, the Democrats are going to reject the far left, and they're going to realize that they need to be more moderate. We'll see what happens. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. If you want to join us, Oaken Heart Jewelers, talking text line 504-260-1870. And we've got to get to some of your text messages, and we will do that coming up. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 1967, the Jimi Hendrix Experience made their famous debut at the Monterey Pop Festival in California. The other day, we told you that it was the day the Monterey Pop Festival began. This was the first of the pop festivals in the Summer of Love, 1967. And there was an argument between The Who and Jimi Hendrix about who was going to close out the festival. Jimi Hendrix, The Who played first, and Jimi Hendrix closed things out. The Who destroyed their instruments for the first time, and for the first time, Jimi Hendrix set his guitar on fire. All of this happened at the Monterey Pop Festival, and Jimi Hendrix closed it out on this day in 67. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be back on WWL. You know, a lot of people think that what Jimi Hendrix is really saying is, "Excuse me while I kiss this guy." But no, it's, "Excuse me while I kiss this guy." We'll be back on WWL. This is one of my favorite Paul McCartney singles. Today we're wishing happy birthday to Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney, 83 years old. I mean, this is a freaking milestone. I mean, when he hit 80, that was a milestone. But every birthday thereafter is a milestone because of the mentality of the baby boomer generation about youth being everything. And if you lived a good life and if you were fortunate enough to get older, you know, you can still have a youthful attitude. I mean, you don't have to act old just because you are more mature, we'll say. And I love this. I think this is just a great statement about, you know, you don't ever have to act your age, and you don't have to be old in your mind and your heart. You don't have to be old. And again, Xers, millennials, Zoomers, take care of your bods. Take care of them. It's the only body you're going to have. I mean, you can make some adjustments along the way to your body, but, you know, just take care of it, and, you know, you'll be kicking butt later. Let's go to Clyde in Natchez. Hey, Clyde, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing today, Doctor?
I'm good.
You know what I was saying? I think that America is in a domestic violence relationship with Donald Trump. I think that it just feels like, you know, he's got the belt. He can spank us wherever he wants to, but he don't want to go over there and he's a bully, but he's bully for us. But he don't want to go over there and get Japan or Russia or whatever the case may be. So he shows the world how big he is by beating us up because he got all the power here in America. You know, and I sit back and I say, you know what? This is a domestic violence relationship. He didn't go to war. You know, as a matter of fact, he only beat what? He beat two women in the presidential election. Never beat a man. So I'm just trying to figure out if he's trying to live vicariously through our military to say, look, you know, I can be strong. I'm gonna show the world that I'm strong, but I'm not gonna mess with Putin.
You know, Clyde, I think there may be some truth to that. You know, a lot of speculation about, you know, how Trump thinks. But I mean, right now, his mind is not totally stable. I mean, this going back and forth on key issues. I mean, you know, presidents don't do that. They're not supposed to do that. I don't mind a president making a mistake and realize, hey, wait a minute, I got to change this. But there's too much back and forth. And President Trump is being swayed mainly, I believe, by Stephen Miller. And so somewhere between what Trump wants to do and what Stephen Miller wants, the president is trapped in the middle there. Before we get to some of your text messages, let me just mention about Tyler Perry being sued for $260 million over sexual harassment and assault allegations. The suit is coming from actor Derek Dixon a dude. They met back in 2019. And Tyler Perry's attorney is essentially saying that this guy apparently got close to Tyler Perry for the purpose of setting up a scam. That basically he tried to, you know, get close to him, and like maybe there was something that went on for the purpose of a scam, because this guy is claiming that Tyler Perry created a coercive, sexually exploitive dynamic between them when he was starring in the filmmakers' shows The Oval and Ruthless. And the complaint accuses Tyler Perry of initially promising him career advancement and creative opportunities, such as producing his pilot and casting him in his show, only to subject him to escalating sexual harassment, assault, and battery and professional retaliation when Mr. Dixon did not reciprocate Mr. Perry's unwanted advances. So, you know, I don't know what's going on here. Tyler Perry's attorney is convinced that this is really nothing, that it's a scam and it's going to be exploited as such. But I tell you, man, you know, guys have to really be careful about who they are with. And I think it was yesterday we talked about the story of a guy, it's either yesterday or Monday, a guy picks up a girl in a bar. I think she was in her 20s, picks up a girl in a bar, brings her home, and she steals his $30,000 Rolex. You know, don't fall asleep while they're still in the house. You know, stay awake and, you know, make sure they leave before you, you know, doze off. And there are cases where, you know, women use sex to take advantage of men. I mean, this probably goes back to the beginning of time, because women have that power. They have, you know, the power. And, you know, I mean, if you're a guy, I mean, I hate to tell you this. I don't want to ruin your, you know, your life. But, you know, you really have to be careful. And you just have to think about the possibility that something is going to happen and that somebody's going to claim something about you that may not be true for the purpose of getting something from you. And I hate to add that into your whole idea of meeting somebody, but I think you have to take that into consideration. Okay, let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Okay, we're a little backed up, so they're kind of all over the place. We'll start with Iran. Here's a text that says, oh no, that's not it. Here it is. Soothsayer Sam is listening today, and he says about this whole situation, when is the world going to get over its denial and realize the world is at war? It's not just Israel and Iran. There's 92 other countries fighting armed conflicts outside their borders. The world is at war. And as Master Military Intelligence Operative Scoot points out, there are sleeper cells in the United States waiting for the word to attack from inside our own country. Buy more ammo.
Well, look, you know, I look, a lot of that is true. But, you know, if we're not at war, we're not at war. And the world has been, as far as the United States is concerned, there are a lot of wars going on. But as far as the U.S. is concerned and big wars, the world has been relatively peaceful recently. But that doesn't mean that things can't erupt. And look at what's going on between Israel and Iran. I mean, this is why I said during the campaign, Trump cannot control the economy. He cannot prove that inflation is going to go down. He cannot make inflation go down if he wins. And this is going to change the price of oil, which changes the economy completely. And so presidents don't really have control over the economy. President Trump made you think that he did. And look at this situation now. You're paying more. Inflation is here.
In regard to not having a fast answer about what he wants to do, here's a text that says, I'm not MAGA, but I have to say what may seem like indecision is probably more just to keep the Iranians guessing. I doubt that the Japanese broadcast to their citizens that they were going to bomb Pearl Harbor.
Well, as you have heard this afternoon, I've said nothing about that because I agree with that. I mean, President Trump should not announce what he's going to do. And I totally agree with that. The United States does not have to announce to the world what they're going to do. I mean, there was a situation where I think it was Somalia and the SEAL team was coming ashore in Somalia. I mean, it was a joke. The TV cameras were there. They announced that the SEAL team was going to be landing on the shores of Somalia. And so the TV cameras were there. The media was there. And here's this secret mission that's being totally televised live on TV. I mean, that was kind of a joke. So, yes, I agree. President Trump need not say exactly what he's going to do.
I'll read one more about Iran before we move on to hungry kids. This text says, I served in the military during the Vietnam War. I did it with honor. Let me say, combat is not for the weak of heart. Therefore, threatening military action where lives will be lost should not be taken lightly. It never ceases to amaze me how quickly someone or some politician calls for the U.S. To conduct some type of military action without any provocation or reason. Yeah. I say, if they truly believe in military action, first nut up and volunteer and get a taste before asking others. I think Trump needs to send his three sons first, the three Beavs, Beavis, Butthead, and Barron.
It's pretty rough, but yeah, I mean, Trump has no experience in the military, and he seems like he might be quick. See, but here's the great irony of this. You know, Trump was on the campaign trail, and what did he say? I'm going to get us out of all wars. I'm going to make sure we're not in. I'm going to end the war in Ukraine. I'm going to end the war there, and we're not going to get in wars. We don't need to be in wars. And look what's happening. He's becoming a friggin' instigator. I mean, I don't understand why people are so enamored with this man who is such a farce. He can't make up his mind. And I am telling you the absolute truth. Everything that I'm saying is totally documented. He was a peacemaker on the campaign trail. We're going to get out of all wars. I'm going to take care of us. And now he seems to be on the verge of being an instigator because he's the one who's suggesting that we get involved. So we'll see what happens.
No, I lied. I'll give you two more. Here's one that says, during Trump's first term, he believed Putin over our own intelligence community. And he said that out loud. Yet the electorate put him back in.
That was Helsinki.
About hungry kids. Here's a text that says, sorry, but if you can't afford to feed your child, the state should get involved and remove the child from the home. You'd have to be a complete moron to have children when you can't provide for their very basic needs.
Well, there are a lot of morons out there, and I think that is a definite problem. I mean, I get it. People are given money to take care of their kids, but some of them are not spending the money in the right way. But some of them have bills that, you know, I hate to say it, but I guess in some cases food is not an option. I mean, I'm not part of that world, so I don't know firsthand.
The text seems not really to account for the fact that people often fall into poverty,
yes,
having already had children. It could happen to you, texter, if you and your spouse both lost your jobs and then you broke your back and you couldn't return to work and you had, you know, $500,000 in medical debt. Guess what? You might need food stamps.
Yeah.
So don't look at people who are collecting them and saying, oh, well, you shouldn't have kids because it doesn't always work like that. And you should be a little smarter and a little more compassionate than to paint with a broad brush.
It's a great point. And it just goes to show you how some people are just motivated by hate and non-compassion. And this is one of the reasons why Donald Trump, who has a lot of hate in his heart and is not compassionate at all. I mean, we don't have to worry about Trump dying of a heart attack. He doesn't have a heart. It's amazing how void he is of empathy. And he just proved it again with just saying, why do I need to call the Democratic governor of Minnesota? I mean, why do I need to call him? I mean, a couple of Democrats are assassinated. Big deal. And, you know, I mean, obviously the Democratic lawmaker and her husband are Democrats. They were killed. And then the others were injured. Another lawmaker and her and his wife injured and almost killed. So I just I think it's amazing. It's astounding the lack of empathy that this president has. And, you know, with no empathy, I guess it's easy to get into war. So, you know, we do have to really pay attention to what's going on. But I think we're going to be OK. Hey, I remember playing this song when it was released in 1973 and, you know, played it kind of as an oldie in 1975. I love the lyrics. This is the song Brother Louie, released by The Stories on this day in 1973, and it was all about mixed couple relationships.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, on the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 1988, this was the number one song in America. I can still hit that post, you know. Hitting the post is, you know, with the when the DJ, you know, talks until the singing starts. I can still hit the post, baby. Yeah, number one song, Together Forever. You look, you know, a lot of people thought this was done by a black artist because Rick Astley had that, like, that deep voice. But, you know, he's a white guy. In fact, I've said this many times. I dance kind of similar to Rick Astley. I don't want to admit that, but, you know, he kind of has that Caucasian move about him. I kind of have that Caucasian move, too. Oh, you got the bugle? Okay, well, let's hit the bugle. Last night, Louisiana Downs in Lafayette in the sixth race. Scoot won. Scooteria won the race. Scooteria has got over his allergy, and he is running like a wild horse. So I was really happy to hear that. Miss Evelyn Benoit texted me last night. I was sitting at my desk working, and she said, Scoot just won the race in Louisiana Downs. So I'm really happy to have you hear that. You know, a horse named after you is a winner. That's kind of cool. Hey, let's go to Chuck and Gonzalez. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Scoot. I was just calling about the Beatles.
Okay.
I'm about the same age as you, so I know you grew up, like, playing broomsticks in garages, singing I Want to Hold Your Hand and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I wish the generations after the Beatles, you know, after our generation, could experience more of their songs. I mean, from 19, I'm just reading this little article, 1962 to 1970, they made over almost 400 songs. And actually, they think there was over 1,000 when you wrote down all the little scribbles and everything. That was like, you know, the main catalog, like over 40 songs a year. And I'm telling you, I'm just scrolling down their catalog. There's not a song in there that I can't say that I didn't fall in love with. And that wasn't almost totally different from every other song that they did.
Well, that's
how
the key.
They did this is
that's
flat
a key,
out
Chuck.
Amazing.
Not only did they do so much in a short period of time, but the diversity of music that came from them was just unprecedented.
It is, and I guess you saw the movie yesterday. I'm sure with
no,
Sharon.
I hate to admit this.
I haven't seen it.
I know everybody tells me that, and I do more work on this show than some people think, and I get involved at home working or looking up stuff, and I honestly I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to make that a priority because everybody tells me
you have got to because it just brings them songs out.
Okay.
The guy Patel really does a good job of singing their songs, and it's such a cute story of how they weave in this whole thing of getting the Beatles songs together. But, I mean, what I wish kids could do nowadays, I know everybody's heard the Beatles, but I wish they could listen to some of the catalog songs because the 5% of the songs of the Beatles that are played on the radio, that's not even their best work, if you ask me.
Yeah.
The other 95% is just one incredible song after another that I can tell you most people have never heard half of these songs.
You know, Chuck,
80% of these songs.
I think there are more young people into the Beatles than you might think because, you know, at Beatles Fest is coming up July 12th. Molly Ringwald's are going to be there and, you know, others, Irma Thomas and just a bunch of people are going to be there. It's really great. It's going to be at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. And the younger people at Beatles Fest would surprise you. So I think there are more younger people into the Beatles than you might think. But you're right. I mean, if somebody's not into the Beatles, you should really at least check them out. I know they're not for everybody, but they should be for a lot of people because the Beatles are really, you know, pretty amazing. All right. We're going to come back to wrap up the show here in just a minute. I'm shocked by this. On this day in 1977, this was the number one song in America. What is amazing to me is this was Fleetwood Mac's only number one song. All the great songs they had only one number one. That is astounding to me. I mean, they had number one albums, Rumors, they had number one album, but they never had a number one hit other than this song, Dreams, which was from Rumors. All right, we'll be right back on WWL. All right, Sports Talk, Mike Dottillier, Steve Geller coming up next. We'll talk about the Saints Hall of Fame and LSU playing at 6 o'clock. All right, thanks to everybody involved in the show, and I thank you for being part of it. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.